Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 29th, 2012, episode 435. And today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
All right, everybody, you got another 8 hours, and then you're done with work for the weekend. Woohoo! It's Friday. It's Friday. Now, you know, when I used to have a cubicle job, Jamie, pretty much from Friday, from about after lunch on, is useless. And then you're going into an odd sort of weekend this weekend because we've got July 4th on Wednesday. So now you've got, you know, is it a holiday weekend? Do we have a lot of people that are taking off, or are people just going to be off mentally on Monday and Tuesday?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be off Tuesday, and I'm going to be off Wednesday, and I might come Friday. We'll see. How about that?
I think there's going to be a lot of
here,
that, actually.
If I am here on Friday, I will not be really focused because I'm doing my first training level next Saturday, and I'm freaking out. So I do want to go back to the comment that you made about from the days of your cubicle job on Friday, like after lunch, you're pretty much worthless. I would like to back that up and say right about Wednesday afternoon. My cubicle life. Pretty much everything just stopped about Wednesday afternoon. I was Wednesday after lunch, and I was done. Don't ask me to do anything. Maybe you get 15 minutes out of me Thursday morning. That's it, though. Nothing else.
That's stretching it, Jamie. That's stretching it.
I never said I was a great employee for State Farm Insurance, okay? I never said I was.
You worked for State Farm. Did you work for your dad?
Well, let's just say that my father was able to get me a job in the corporate office down in Duluth, Georgia, and this was pre-radio career. And, I cannot see you
sitting in a cubicle 5 days a week.
I made it 3 months. Thank you very much. Do you want to know what my job was? This is like one of those we should ask people what their worst jobs were. I mean, granted, this probably wasn't my worst, but I had to take checks that had been mailed out to insurance clients that had been returned. Okay, tell me the purpose of this job, Glenn. The checks had come back to us in the mail, and my job was to take the checks that came in each individual day and put them in a numerical order regarding check numbers. The check numbers were 11 digits long, and I would get about 600 a day. And I had to take them and put them in order from earliest to latest, then separate them into batches of 10, total them with that little, like, tick, 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 tape, and and then staple it and put it in a box.
You were a text order.
After 3 months, I was driving to work one day, and I said, you know, if I run my car into a telephone pole, I'll probably get to miss today. And then I thought, well, I got to quit this job. I'm getting suicidal at this point. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that was my last day at State Farm Insurance. Thanks, guys, for the opportunity.
I hate doing that once a year when we have to do it, like, to get all our checks together for, you know, for taxes and stuff, and to file everything. I hate doing it once a year. I can't imagine doing it every day. Did they really get that many checks back every day?
Oh, my God. It was like and the point of doing this job was stupid because they went in a box and nobody ever looked at them ever again. So I really think that they were like, okay, this is her dad's an agent. We need to find something for her to do. Like, let's try this. I mean, it was like, let's give her nothing to do, but tell her it's something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't make it very long.
Jennifer, that's a good question of the day. What was the worst job you ever had? That's a good question of the day. Because, you know, most of us have those jobs when we're, like, in high school or we're just getting out of high school is when you have that job. I was a dishwasher at Zin's Diner. I think that was probably the worst job I ever had. And then I actually got promoted to a short-order cook, and I thought that was going to be wonderful. And then I discovered how much pressure there is on short-order cooks at a very, 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 very busy restaurant. So dishwashing all of a sudden sounded like a lot of fun. There was a lot less responsibility than screwing up people's food every night, like I did.
Yeah. No kidding. The State Farm one was the most mind-numbing, you know, where you put on weight because you just sit in a cubicle and try to eat sugary snacks to keep yourself awake. You know, they didn't have five-hour energy back then. And I'd have that 3 o'clock feeling starting about, I don't know, 8 a.m. And so then... in college, I think it was my worst job. I worked for the Gluck Equine Research Center at University of Kentucky because I wanted to go to vet school, and I was a test tube washer, and I collected urine from mares. That's awful. I mean, come on.
You were the pee girl.
And they peed into bags, you know, and so, like, I would test it. I would have to collect the urine out of this bag. It's awful. It was awful. Great job doing research for the horses, you know, but my God. Sticky urine all over you. It's all I'm going to say.
I always thought that would be the worst job at this racetrack, too. The poor schmucks who have to sit around after every race with every horse. They're just the top three.
Please pee. I got to go. Please pee-pee. Yeah, I'm curious to know what everybody's worst job is. Jennifer, did you have a worst job?
Did I have a worst job?
Besides working for Jane Sleeper? That
well, that wasn't. That's funny. Well, yes, I worked at a convenience store, you know, gas station convenience store for a little while, and that really sucked. I didn't like that at all. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you come in and you buy $10 worth of gas and 14 packs of cigarettes, and I'm sorry, you look like you're 9. Can I see your ID? Oh, sorry, I don't have it. Yeah, did that.
My brother worked at a convenience store, and he became the most popular guy in the world. Like, he worked at the Golden Pantry, and he was called the Golden Pantry Guy. He loved it. He made the news when he refused to sell a woman that he said was 11 months pregnant a carton of Marlboro Reds. So he made the news.
11 months pregnant.
Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
It's Friday. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we launch the show with an investigation into extreme cowgirl competitor Robin Bond's extreme transformation from English to Western. And the weekly examination of the self-taught marketer that we call Really Bad Ads wraps up the week. As we crown the winner for the most fantastic Best of the Worst contest ever, and in honor of the hundreds of animated cartoon characters who were left with good humor grid patterns on their faces during cartoon combats, happy Waffle Iron Day.
You got me.
I can't.
I'm lost.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry for a waffle. I haven't had one of those in a long time. My Daily Winnie goes out to a woman whose husband must be a very, very lucky man. And her name is Mona Leach. She is from, I believe, down there in the South someplace. I think she's from Clarksville. She's from Clarksville, Tennessee, actually. And she was kind enough. What a lovely woman. She was kind enough to post on our Facebook page yesterday. And she said, this is for Glenn, because I didn't see any pictures of pretty women. So Mona came to the rescue of all the guys listening to this show and posted a very lovely picture of three cowgirls in the water with no tops on. So thank you, Mona. As I said, your husband's one lucky guy as an understanding woman like you. We appreciate that coming from the entire Man Nation here at Horses in the Morning. You can see that picture by going to Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And before Jamie can comment and rip Mona a new one, we're going on.
I would never have made a comment about that, Glenn. You don't know me at all, Mona. I'll come for you. He doesn't need any help, Mona. Okay. On to my Daily Winnie. I'm going for the American riders here, the guys that are trying to qualify for the Olympic Games and my favorite sport eventing. That's why I talk about it, because I do it, and I'm a big fan of the sport. And Barbary Castle is kind of where the final event, we've shipped over all of our American riders, and they're all kind of vying for those couple spots on the American team. And so Barbary Castle is where the final event, kind of the final selection, is going on over in England. And they have 900 horses this weekend. They have all levels of horse trials up to the three-star. And all of our American riders were sent over there. Well, they did their first day of dressage yesterday. And in seventh place, with a 47.4, is Will Coleman and Twizzle. So he's the highest placed American rider right now. In eighth, Allison Springer. 11th was Boyd Martin with Otis Barbatieri. And 12th was Boyd Martin with Neville Bardos with a 49. 19th place, Karen O'Connor. 22nd was Philip Dutton and Mighty Nice. 24th, Clark Montgomery and Laughlin Glenn. And then 25th, Sinead Halpin and Manoir de Carnville. She apparently, I was reading that she was very disappointed in herself on her Facebook post, because she said she got distracted in the warm up, and then that her horse just was not performing up to snuff, but she's going to try to make up for it. Now, Philip Dutton and Mystery Whisper, Boyd Martin and Remington, Tiana Coudre and Ringwood Magister, Will Faudry and Andromac have their performances today. So they will be riding today. Probably some of them have already ridden. I don't know what the time difference is. So at any rate, good luck to all of the American riders that are over trying to make the team. We will know more by the end of the weekend. I mean, I'm sure we'll know probably by Monday who's going to make it.
I kind of think I'm looking at the order you have here. And my prediction, if I'm going to make a prediction, why not? I've been good so far with all the races this year. So I am predicting your top three there is probably how it's going to end up. Now, Boyd, I don't know which horse. It could be one or the other. But I think you're going to see Will Coleman, Allison Springer, and Boyd Martin on the team. And an individual, you're either going to see Philip or Karen O'Connor. So one of those, I think that's going to be the order of events. That's my prediction.
I'm a little surprised that Karen and Mr. Medicott are sitting in 19th place. I don't know what the deal is. But, yeah, between Arthur, Will Coleman and Twizzle is a good match, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they're just young, you know. And you've got Philip Dutton and Boyd. God, I hope for Neville Bardos. Obviously, he's sitting in 12th place, so it's going to be good. I mean, Tiana Coudre and Ringwood Magister. That horse is such an amazing dressage horse that if she has some solid performances in cross country and show jumping, she could be considered as well. Will Faudry's always in the top, so it's tough. It's going to be interesting. Let's just put it that way.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you know. We should know on Monday. Well, we'll know what the results are. I don't know when they're going to announce the team. That might take a couple days after that to
right.
do that. A couple news stories, and then I have for you guys, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to quiz you and Jennifer, seeing it's Friday, what the heck. The top 10 most popular horse breeds in the world by their online presence, by the number of websites and Facebook pages and fans that they have online. So I think you're going to be surprised at a couple of them, actually. But first, before we do that, we have a couple of news stories. Let's talk about the heat wave. It is so hot in Kentucky. It's supposed to be, now Kentucky gets hot in the summer, but not usually out of the low 90s. And the temperatures today are supposed to be between 101 and 104. Tomorrow may reach 106 in Kentucky. So that has forced, for the first time in the history of Churchill Downs, they canceled Thursday. They had canceled their race meet, or their race card for that Thursday. They had 9 races scheduled, and they canceled it. It's been canceled before due to, like, mud and rain and things like that, but they have never canceled it due to extreme heat. So that happened yesterday. And then there's 3 more days of their race meet left, and they're doing them in the evenings. They're going to start at 6:30 instead of their usual afternoon times to try and get them in when it's a little bit cooler. So that's a first for Churchill Downs.
That's just crazy. I know I was talking to my brother who's in, you know, Atlanta, and he said that it was 106 or going to get to 106 by this weekend. And, you know, granted, it's hot here in Phoenix, but, you know, it's like expected to be 112 here. It's not expected to be 106 in Georgia and 104 in Lexington. That's just not expected. And even up north, they're getting crushed. I mean, New York is in a heat wave, too. So let's just all pray for some rain, get these fires down out of Colorado. You know, it's just, we need a nice big old storm to come through and knock everything down, cool everything off. You know, I'd love some rain here in Phoenix, if they don't mind. Go ahead and send it over.
All right.
And you guys
we'll
are flooding in Florida. Seriously.
No. And you know what? Last night they said we got close to a record low here in Florida overnight. We were down into the low 60s. It was cool when we went outside this morning. So who knows? What a weird year for weather. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Pamela Grimes. She's the owner of Hickory Hollow Farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. She actually, what a way, first of all, I got to tell you, Jennifer and I absolutely love Gettysburg. We love history, and Gettysburg is the one, if you're going to do a battlefield tour, Gettysburg just, it just has it down. They know, they have, it looks a lot like it did back then. There's so much land there that they have set aside for the park. And it's just, you know, it's just such a historic battle there, and they just have so many cool things in Gettysburg.
Glenn, you're saying it like you're a Yankee. You can't call it Gettysburg. It's Gettysburg. It's Gettysburg if you're living in the South. And my friend, you are living in Florida, and so it is Gettysburg.
Yeah, but I grew up in Pennsylvania, so that rules. I spent more time there than here, and I am a Yankee. So, but I got to tell you, it's just one of the coolest places that you can visit. And this lady actually does battlefield tours by horseback. Now, I don't think that was available when we were visiting Gettysburg on a regular basis, and we've stayed in some of the better breakfasts downtown and things. What a cool way to do a tour of Gettysburg, and you just get a feeling when you're there. What a cool way to do it on horseback. So she does that at hickoryhollowfarm.com. If you're heading anywhere towards central Pennsylvania, Gettysburg is definitely worth it. And she does a 2.5-hour guided ride around Gettysburg Park. That would be a really neat. Jennifer, you rode at Gettysburg a couple times, didn't you?
Yes. The last time was probably quite a few years ago. But back then you could schedule your own ride. In other words, you didn't have to go out with a guide. You could just go with a group and go for a ride as long as you set an appointment. And I went out with about 150 of our best friends. It was a day-long ride. It was 8 hours long. And my mom had this brilliant idea of letting me ride the quiet horse. And she would take the newly purchased, we have no idea about her history, Hackney, and ride it for 8 hours. You can guess how
that
turned
out. Well, did it?
Did not.
She went home early.
Hackneys can buck. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, that's why you had a Hackney pony, didn't you? They can buck. They can buck really good.
You know, it wasn't even the bucking. It was the spinning and bolting. Those little puppies, man, they can move when they want to. Evil ponies. Evil.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We were just talking about eventing, and the final horse inspection is going to be open to spectators at the Olympics. This was kind of big drama. It's the reason Hugh Thomas actually resigned from the Olympic Committee, because international outrage among the eventing community because they were saying, oh, we can't get the tickets and can't ticket the event. And what it is every, you know, day after cross country, people get all dressed up and they go to the jog up with their horses, and people love to watch the jog up. So it's going to be open now to spectators. All you have to do is bring your show jumping ticket, and then you will be able to get in at 7:45 in the morning and watch the jog up. It makes total sense. Just if you're ticketed, you get to go. I don't know why this was so difficult, but I wonder if Hugh Thomas is going to get his job back.
I don't know. I wonder if he wants it back. Maybe he just wanted a break. He did tell the eventing show that he had tickets to go watch the events anyway, so I think he kind of just wants to go watch with his wife is what it sounded like to me.
No, so. Good for him.
All right, it's time for a quiz. You guys ready? All right, here it is, the quiz. Now, this is the top 10 most popular horse breeds in the world, but it's by their online presence. There was a study done on how many websites, how many Facebook pages, how many fan pages, how many breeders online, things like that, and they combined them all to come up with the top 10 most popular horse breeds in the world. I don't think this probably matches like the top 10 in number, just to give you guys a hint. So as far as number of horses, it probably does not match. So who do you think? What do you think? Jamie, you're first.
Okay, well, I'll go with my favorite, which is the Thoroughbred.
Ding, 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 ding. Number five on the list is the Thoroughbred horse. Number five. Jennifer?
I'm going to go with the other obvious choice, Quarter Horse.
Number two, ding, 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 ding. Number two is the American Quarter Horse. And, you know, I would have guessed Quarter Horse first, I think, because there are so many Quarter Horses, and the American Quarter Horse Association is huge. I mean, they're the biggest horse breed association in the world.
I'll tell you why. Not to be whatever, it's a scam. I bought a mare, and she was half Thoroughbred, half Quarter Horse, and to get her papers in my name, I had to join the AQHA. So I'm actually a member of the AQHA, and they have got it figured out, where if you own one of these horses and you want any sort of information on, you have to join. So there might be a billion people in the AQHA. It's because they totally scam you into doing it.
800,000 members, and that's why they're huge and make a lot of money every year, right there.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous. So I sold the mare, and I gave somebody else the papers, and, of course, what do they have to do? They have to join the AQHA to have the mare's papers. So, yeah, it was that's why.
We need to figure out a way to do that with our listeners, make them join. So, I guess they wouldn't listen anymore. Forget that idea. All right, Jamie, next one.
Let's see, you know, and where are these numbers taken from, Glenn?
These numbers are taken from a website of which I don't have in front of me right now.
But, I mean, they gathered the information off Facebook and stuff like that?
Facebook, number of websites, things like that, yep.
All right, well, I would say, because they're my second favorite breed, I would have to go with Andalusian, because they seem to have a great presence online.
Holy crap. I would have guessed. That was the one I thought you wouldn't get. It was really the one I found bizarre on the list, and that was number 10, the Andalusian horse. I'm shocked. I didn't think you'd get that one. Wow.
I'm the master. Number 10, Andalusian.
Oh. Yes, it is. Jennifer?
All right. I'm going to guess on behalf of one of our Blog Talk chat room guests. Glenn Forrester is guessing Arabian.
Ding, 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 ding. Glenn knows his stuff. He's been around. He knows his stuff because that's number one is the Arabian horse on the list. And I would venture to guess there are probably more Arabians in the world than any other breed, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that?
I don't know. I couldn't guess about the whole world. That'd be challenging. Let's see, the next guess I would say, because they also have kind of the same idea where you have to register with their breed organization, is the Paint Horse Association.
And another one I didn't think you'd guess. Number three, ding, ding, ding. American Painters
really?
Association. Number three, yeah. Right behind Quarter Horse and the Arabian. Did they do the same thing? You have to sign up?
Probably, because I think they took their whole business plan from the AQHA.
All right, anybody? Okay, what do we have left here? We have a couple left. So far, you haven't gotten any wrong. Jennifer?
I'm going to guess Frisian.
Nope. Frisians aren't on the list. Although, if you judge by the amount of publicity they get, you would say that, because they do get a lot of publicity, because everybody likes the pretty black horses. All right, let's before we run out of time, let me just run down the list here. Number 10 was Andalusian. Number 9, Welsh Pony and Cob.
Oh, never guessed that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. Number 8, Tennessee Walking Horse. Number 7, the Morgan Horse. Kind of surprised me. Morgans, but you got to remember that Morgans in the early 19th century were one of the most prevalent horses in the world. They were used for carriages and pulling. They were very popular. Number 6, you would have probably gotten this one if I'd let you keep going, and that's Appaloosa, right in there with Paint, you know, kind of the same thing.
Right.
Number 5, Thoroughbred. Number 4, Miniature Horses.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. And then Paint Horse, Quarter Horse, and Arabians. So there is the top. And this was put out by, and I had never heard of this website, and went on to check it out, horsetradition.com.
Hmm.
Who did it?
Interesting. I'm curious. There was no draft horses on the list.
No. I don't think they would have a lot of presence online, like the Arabians and the Thoroughbred people and the Quarter Horse people, where they have a ton of websites and things like that. It's just much smaller communities.
Okay, I'm on horsetradition.com, and they actually had the top 18 breeds. And, Jennifer, I would like to point out that Frisian is number 12.
Oh, really?
You were close.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Frisian number 12, and then, Icelandics, 15, 14, Pasadenos, 13, Peruvian Paso. Number 11 was the Missouri Foxtrotters. Wow. They must have a big online presence as well.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, let's take a break for our commercial for the day. And, of course, with the heat of the summer, you're going to want to listen to this one. Well, it's a hot one out there, and the heat wave has hit much of the United States and the rest of the world. Well, don't let dehydration and electrolyte imbalance sideline your horse. Summer Games Electrolytes are formulated to replace both the electrolytes and the trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats. Its concentrated formula allows you to easily feed the correct amount to meet your horse's changing needs. This electrolyte was developed for the equine athletes at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. We all know that it can get hot in Atlanta. For horses on the go, use Summer Games Electrolyte Plus Paste. Each dose contains a serving of Nalox, Equine, and Acid for double the protection against stress. And, of course, you can find all of that at Kentucky Performance Products. They take out the confusion of choosing the right supplement. And you can find them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. And they have a brand new website at Kentucky Performance Products. Just went up last week, and it is very helpful. It's well done. So if you have never been there, hop on over to kppusa.com. If you've been there before, hop on over anyway, because they have lots of new information on there. It's really nice. Karen from Kentucky Performance Products is going to join us next Friday to talk a little about that too. Our first guest today, her name is Robin Bond. She is a sponsored rider, actually, by Fleeceworks, one of our sponsors. And she's done something that you don't see a lot of people do. She rode for 22 years in jumping, dressage, combined training, and then all of a sudden switched, and now she's an extreme cowboy. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you so much for getting up so darn early there to join us today. We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not usually a morning person. I'm not one of those trainers that gets up at the crack of dawn and starts. I live in San Diego, and I have lights in my arena, so I start a little later than most.
Well,
lucky.
We do. And the weather's always perfect, so you don't
pretty
have to
much
worry about that. Well, how you spent a long time in jumping and dressage and on you know, riding with the smaller saddles. What the heck made you change your tune?
Well, it was actually based on a financial decision to start with. I had two sons, and I took a year off to raise one of them, and I had been in the Navy for 6 years, and I needed something to
do.
Thank
you for serving.
The job, yes, you bet, you bet. The job that I applied for was giving Western riding lessons. So I just said, okay, well, it's horses, so I'm gonna go for it, and I just springboard from there.
And that led then eventually to extreme cowboy racing?
It sure did. We went through a couple little phases, started with the basic Western riding, and where I worked, the people there were into the show trail. And so I absorbed for 10 years a good bit of show trail experience of getting horses over obstacles at that and that style of Western riding. And then I was a speed junkie. I did some eventing, and I said, you know, this is all well and good, but give me something that has a little bit more excitement to it. So I saw some reined cow horse, so I started doing some reining and some reined cow horse, and then a couple of years ago.
Time out. You thought that reining was more exciting than eventing? You're delusional. Okay. I'm an eventer.
Well, here you go. To do a reined cow horse, you must start with reining. If you can't do the reining, you can't do the cow horse. And the cow horse, I challenge you to get a bigger rush than going down the fence at 30 miles an hour and turning around.
Oh, I'm sure it's exciting.
It's pretty fun. But cattle are expensive, and we don't have cattle at the ranch where I am. So I branched out and started taking those little dinky slow trail obstacles and combining them with a little other stuff. And now I'm, guess what? I'm jumping banks again.
Are you? Oh, that's right. Yeah, you would be, because they have that in extreme cowboy racing.
We do.
So you would be doing it. Now, yeah, you know, I got to go. Let's backtrack a little bit. I have a couple questions for you because it's Friday and we're a little goofy on Fridays. So which one has better? Did you just do it so you could wear more bling? That's my real question.
I am not a blingy cowgirl. I am a classic, just some sterling silver. No bling on me, but I do see plenty of it.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. Now, you also went to the bigger, heavier saddles, and so I got to tell you, I've ridden Western before, some of those Western saddles, you can hardly pick those babies up. I don't understand how the Western riders do it.
I get to the last horse of the day, you know, riding horse number 9, 10, or 11, and I just look at the thing sitting on the rack, and I just go, you know what? I think I'm going to ride this one bareback.
Heck yeah. Or well,
I will
call your husband.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, dear, I got to tell you, too, though, switching to Western is not a bad idea in one way. And that, well, a lot of ways, but in one big way, and that is they actually win some serious money over there, especially in reining.
Yeah, the Rainers have some stuff going on. Got to tap into some of that. I'm not ready to win some of that money yet, but maybe soon.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jamie, that's where they do have you. I don't care about the adrenaline rush or whatever you want to talk about there. They end up taking a big check home at the end of the day if they win.
Glenn, it's all about the love of the sport. It's not about the money.
That's what all the good English riders say.
Exactly. We all want money. That's why we say that.
They're wallowing it when they get home and they have to pay the credit card off of the $1,000 they just spent to go to the horse show to win a ribbon. So tell us, what do you like most about the extreme cowboy racing? What's the thrill there?
Well, it is literally everything they told me I couldn't do when I was in 4-H Club. It's all the fun stuff. It's carrying things. It's jumping things. It's going too fast. It's turning too sharp. It's challenging yourself and your horse to do just the most of anything that you can do. And it's exciting.
Us, before you go on, tell us, though, for those that don't know, and what exactly is an extreme cowboy race? How does it work, like, from start to finish? What happens?
It is a timed and judged event over obstacles. You get scored from 1 to 10 on how well you do each obstacle. That includes an approach score, an obstacle score, and a departure score. And then it's also timed. And so you can earn, you know, up to I can't recall the maximum number of time points you can get, but I believe it's 20 time points. And so the rider with the highest score at the end of the challenge wins. And there is, again, there's jumping, there's back throughs, there's walking over, there's water boxes, there's carrying things, there can be bareback, there can be archery, there can be mounted shooting, there can be anything from any discipline can show up in one of these challenges.
One of the crazy ones we saw a video of it, and I just thought it was absolutely nuts. At the end of they were going down a hill at the end of an extreme cowboy race, and Jamie, what they did is they had this big trailer, horse trailer, at the end of the course, and this was the end. You had to jump in this horse trailer with your horse, but the cowboys had to hold on to the edge of the horse trailer and let the horse go in without them, so that they were hanging there, and that was the end of the race. It was bizarre.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that one's pretty far extreme, and I will tell you that I have not done that. That's never you have to do it that way. The trailer load is frequently in there, but I won't swing off the back like that. I think that's pretty. That's something for younger people.
So obviously, well, we were just talking a little bit ago about the most popular horse breeds in the world, and number two was the quarter horse. Now, is that the number one popular horse in your sport of extreme cowboy racing?
I can't say that. You have I rode a Gypsy Cob. In one, Morgan
really?
Horse, Tennessee Walking Horse, is the current non-pro champion nationally. It is the Mustangs that come out of the Extreme Mustang Makeover deal. Those horses are showing up. It is not a quarter horse dominated sport. It is a all breed, halflingers, Appaloosas, Frisians, Andalusians, everything.
Oh, that's fantastic. I like it even more because to be able to, and that's one of the things I like about eventing, is any horse can do it. You just have to have the horse that has the heart and the will to do it. And that's kind of it's what it sounds like in your sport.
There's a lot of crossover from the eventing style. It's the, you know, can you get it done? It's not about who your parents are. It's can you do it?
Right. Right, absolutely. So now let's talk a little bit about Fleeceworks, because the great thing about Fleeceworks is they do sponsor so many riders, and I know that you're a Fleeceworks sponsored rider. How does that kind of make a difference to your riding? I'm sitting on an actual Fleeceworks pad right now, so I'm sitting here at my desk.
Well, they are awfully comfortable. You know, I am a big fan of natural fibers on my horse. I'm a big fan of the thermal balancing that Fleeceworks products provide. When he does the long distance trailering, he has Fleeceworks halter covers. I do use the earplugs during the mounted shooting phase. We're working on a Western saddle pad. We have done a couple prototypes, and I'm really, really liking how they work. And we're working on the cinch covers as well to help with horses that have issues with cinch sores. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic product.
So do you think it's going to be incorporated into the Western sports a little bit more? Because I know, I mean, in the eventing community, Fleeceworks is almost a must-have. What do you think about the cowboy racing? Is it being, you know, are people using it?
Well, there are currently so many options in the Western market, and a lot of people are going into the high-tech, the gel pads and things like that. But I think that when the dust all settles, the people who are really looking for the best in their horse are going to look for something that has that really great thermal balancing quality. And I'm sure hoping that they grab hold of it and run with it, because it's just doing wonders for my horse.
And one thing about Fleeceworks, too, is especially in the Western side, and on the English side more, but more on the Western side, they pay a lot of money for saddle pads. I was amazed. And they'll pay hundreds of dollars for saddle pads. And, you know, Fleeceworks is the top-of-the-line wool pads, and they're not top-of-the-line price, though. You can afford these. Because you can get ridiculous when you get to certain wool pads, but Fleeceworks are affordable. They have pads for $99, and for the quality pads that these are, that's an unheard of price.
Oh yeah, it's not unusual for a Western rider to go out and drop $350 on a saddle pad.
When's the last time you did that,
Jamie? Because the dang saddles are 1,000 pounds. I mean, holy cow! You got to have something nice. Good Lord, you have to get a crane to lift up the saddle on the horse.
Now, I do have a serious question I wanted to ask you, and that is, what do you think, how much do you think your training, you know, for 22 years on the English side helped you on the Western side?
You know, it really helped a ton because I have a lot of core strengths that you're, not to say that Western riders don't have it, but from the jumping and from the dressage, the use of the core strength that I use to get me through. Just about everybody that watches me ride will say something about my position and about how effective and how elegant the position is, and I learned that from the English. And the other things that I brought with me is when I'm even if the obstacle is not a jump, the approach, the rhythm, the cadence of coming up to that and dropping down, the transitions from the dressage to get to the speed that I need to do the obstacle, and then the departures again, everything is smooth. And one thing that people notice when I ride is everything is very, very smooth, and I brought that with me from the English.
You're the only one that does the course walk and is counting strides before the tarp.
Pretty much.
Well, thank you so much, Robin. We really appreciate you joining us. You also have a website. Why don't you tell everybody what that is?
Sure. It's robinbondequine.com. And there's some videos of the Calgary Stampede from 2 years ago where I'm heading up. I'm leaving Monday morning to go compete up there next week. And you'll see some coursework. There's some work there from Project Cowgirl that I just completed in Sacramento 2 weeks ago. And fun stuff, and we're going to be typing up on the trip up to Calgary. I'm going up with a young lady who has been selected to do next year's Road to the Horse colt starting competition. So the Scal and I, Abby, are going to have a really, really fun road trip.
Who's that? Who's that that's going to do that?
Abby Schlom. She just won, actually, first and second place in the Norco Extreme Mustang Makeover down in Lisa Rogers' territory here. And the gals that produced the Road to the Horse are affiliated with the Extreme Mustang Makeover, and they selected her and Sarah Winters to represent the United States in the colt starting competition.
Oh, so they're going to do they're going to do countries again next year against each other?
I think they have the two Australian gentlemen who won last year coming up against our two very young American ladies, and I think it's going to be really exciting.
Ooh,
yeah,
men versus women, too.
Yeah.
And they're moving it this year, too, coming up to the Kentucky Horse Park. So
I understand.
Yeah, it's going to be a bigger stadium, and they'll have more room to do it. So that's great. That's fun. Well, and you said, and Jamie's going, oh, my God, you mentioned the words. Because every time you say Calgary Stampede, I drool. I've always wanted to go to the Calgary Stampede
well, come
and never
on
have
up.
Got there. Oh, it would be so nice. I would love
this
to go to
Calgary.
This is my
third year. It is fun, fun, fun. It's a great show.
Just rub it in, Robin. Just rub it in. Thank you, Robin. We appreciate you being here. It's robinbondequine.com, and best of luck at the Calgary Stampede.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Robin. It does sound like fun. I mean, you get to do obstacles and go fast. I mean.
Yeah, but come on. You sit there and you say, I was bored of venting, so I started doing reining. Okay. I'm calling BS.
You haven't done extreme cowboy racing. You might like it better.
But she said she switched to raining because she was bored of eventing, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't. I mean, but when she started talking extreme cowboy racing, I can see how that would get your adrenaline pumping. But, I make fun of my family all the time because my cousins are all rainers in Texas. And I'm like, oh, that is so cliche. Seriously, you might as well just rope. In Texas. They started out and they were like, we're barrel racers. Now we're rainers. I'm like, y'all are just so Texas. It's not even funny.
Let's see here. Well, this goes right along with it. I thought, we're coming up into this pseudo holiday weekend and, red, white, and blue. And it's Canada Day on Monday for all our friends in Canada. So they do have a long weekend as well. So I thought, we got to make it patriotic. We got to have some fun with the song. So we've got Rodeo World by Trish Lynn.
Howdy, everybody. I'm Bob Dahlman. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. Now, the higher they jump, the better they buck, the better you ride, more money to win. It's rodeo time.
Keep on giving, rolling down the road to the next show. It's a big thing, we call the rodeo. They ride bulls and broncs from Fort Worth to Austin. My cowboy friends, yeah, they're awesome. It's where the cowgirl chicks ride for the red, white, and blue. With a kick of rock. Yeah, I've been to Nashville and had my knock, so I came home where I belong, back to Texas where my roots are strong. And I admit my heart got broke, so I cowgirled up, had my mind made up that I was gonna make it to the real big show.
Rodeo.
It's rodeo show, rodeo show.
Well, that's Trish Lynn and Rodeo World. The All-American Cowgirl Chicks is where Trish is from. So you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. The show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. You can visit them at kppusa.com. And the Horse Radio Network show highlight for today is the Dressage Radio Show, which will be out in an hour or two. And they had the opportunity to interview the entire dressage team heading over to England for the Olympics. And on this week's show, they had Stephen Peters and Tina Conyott were on. And it was a fun interview. And as I said, this show will be coming out in an hour or two. They had a lot of fun with them, and they talked a little bit about what it's like. And they even shared what sports they're going to go watch while they're at the Olympics. I didn't realize it, but as an Olympian, when you get to the Olympic Village, you can go down, and they have tickets set aside for athletes to go watch the other sports. So they can pick what sports they want to go watch and go see them. How cool is that?
Well, that's a reason to be an Olympian. My God.
I know. It is one of the perks. And actually, Stefan might surprise you with what he wants to go see. So you can listen in to the Dressage Radio Show for that.
Well, I got one news story before we get into the really bad ads, Glenn. And actually, we have two, because I want you to do the one that came from the Horse and Hound, because that looks awesome. But just real quick, Bodie Meister, who is Zia Stables' leading three-year-old, who was also the second place in the Derby and the Preakness, actually has not retired, but they have decided where he's going to go when he does retire, and he's going to stand at Windstar Farms in Lexington. No joke, no shocker that he's going to stay in Lexington, but he will be at Windstar Farms at the conclusion of his racing career, which is still going strong. So just to let you know.
One of the most beautiful farms in this entire country is Windstar Farms in Lexington. Oh, God. It is one of the most beautiful. When we first moved to Lexington, we did the whole thing that everybody does when they first move to Lexington. You take a Sunday afternoon, and you just drive around. And when we saw Windstar, we were just, our breath was taken away. It's one of those farms.
So he's going to be living large, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's not too shabby. Not at all. No, not too shabby. Well, we're going to have some fun over there at Barbary Castle. You talked about that earlier in the show. It's an event going on this weekend in England, and it's the final determination of the U.S. team for eventing. Well, this is what I love about the British and how they treat their horse shows over there, is they also have a ton of entertainment at each of these horse shows that, you know, for the downtimes, they try and keep their audience engaged and keep them there shopping and doing everything. And they just do a tremendous job with that. One of the things they're doing over there is they have jockeys against event riders and show jumpers in, are you ready for this? Mechanical bucking bronco competition done by the Pro Bull Rider Series. Yes, they're going to be riding bucking broncs, but of the mechanical version. So who do you think is going to win that? You got jockeys who know how to stay on a horse, for darn sure, event riders who know how to stay on a horse, and show jumpers know how to stay on a horse. Who's going to win that one?
I don't know. You know, my first instinct was jockeys, but have you ever sat, And I'm scared of your answer, have you ever sat on a mechanical bull?
I think once. Yes,
yeah,
I think once.
I've been that drunk in a bar too. And you know, I thought I'm gonna ride this thing, man. They're not gonna be able to get me off. Okay, the mechanical bronking bucking bulls are really it's like doing a split. It is not something you can even wrap your legs around to stay on, because like sitting on a table, they're very, very wide. So I thought, well, then the jockeys are out, because the jockeys keep their tippy toes on the horses. They don't really, you know, wrap their legs around them. So I'm going to lean towards the eventers, and the names out there, you know, you've seen all these guys ride, but to say that Mark Todd would not win this whole thing. I'm gonna go with Mark Todd. What do you think?
Oh yeah, you know he's. I give you that one. I think Mark Todd also. I agree.
Yeah.
Because he's just the tough and wily.
Yeah, the eventers that are there to participate are Mark Todd, Oliver Townend, Laura Collette, and Paul Tapner. And the jockeys apparently this is supposed to be under wraps, but this has been leaked to the press. The jockeys include A.P. McCoy, Chuck Thornton, Timmy Murphy, and Richard Johnson. And then they're going to do the second leg of it with the show jumpers at the Eventing Grand Prix at Hickstead July 19th. So it's going to be a while before we see the show jumpers. So those, are, of course, are also English jockeys. That's why, you know, you don't see like a Shane Sellers or Mike Smith on there. But it should be good. And
did you see who is sponsoring it?
Yes, I love it. Hit air, the hit air vest.
Yeah, the air vest, people. I think that's perfect. What a great idea. All right, let's, what do you think? Think it's time to start?
Let's do it.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Right. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here for Really Bad Ads, everybody's favorite time of the week when we highlight the best of the worst. And today, the winner will receive an a two-pack of illuminated hoof picks from MJ Equine Tools Incorporated. These are the best hoof picks. Jennifer and I have one. We absolutely love this thing because if it's a little dark under your hoof and you're trying to get it, you know, scrape around in there and get everything out and you can't see it and it's frustrating. And the, you know, when you're in a barn, especially old bank barns, I don't know if you had those in Georgia, but we had old bank barns in Pennsylvania, and you always have one light bulb like in the middle of this 30-foot aisle. There's never enough lights, so you can't see nothing. And how many times have you cleaned out a horse's hoof that you wanted a light? You wanted a light on your hoof pick. Well, that's what they did. They invented this. It works great. These are tough hoof picks, too. And they had a little brush on the end, you know, and then the little hoof pick sticking out the top. But it's a tough one. It doesn't bend like those crappy cheap ones. And it runs on two AAA batteries, so you can use the rechargeable batteries if you want. And there's just a little button on the side where you hold on to the pick that you just press, and it turns on the light so you can see what you're cleaning. Best invention in 20 years here in the horse world. And you're going to get a two-pack of those to the winner. Thank you to all the new people who submitted ads today. And remember, the people's names that we list are the people who submitted the ad, not the people who wrote the ad. So these are the nice people who looked around Craigslist to find these really crappy ads. And we do have a lot of new names, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah. The first one is Deborah Kanicki, and Deborah sent this one. And this is actually one of Glenn's favorites.
I gave it to you, though.
It's all capital letters, but I don't feel like screaming. So, because you don't understand it as well when I scream it. And it's hard enough to understand, period. So, pot pig goat chickens, best prices, Harrisville. Pot pig chicken goat prices, Harrisville. A 10-week female potbelly pig, 120 goats, 65 in up chicks, 3 in up chickens, $10 pig, 110 in up Muscovy duck, 7 in up call. First came, first served. That's a really bad ad. That's really bad. All capitals, no punctuation. I don't know what a check-in is, or if you came, then you got served, or you're going to be served. I don't know. I don't get it. It's bad.
Sorry. Okay. Leave it alone, Glenn. Just go on. Thank you, too.
Yeah, shut up. Just move on. This is a family show, Glenn. I just read it, okay? Oh, my God, I'm going to have to do the next one. You just need a minute.
This is from... Why'd you do the next
one? All right, I'll skip the next one. I'll let you come back to that. You're going to have to mute you.
All right, I'm okay now.
Yeah, you sound okay. 7-year-old Appaloosa horse, $400. Just ignore Glenn. Ignore the child in the room. I have a 7-year-old Appaloosa horse that I got when I got my house on 12/31/11, and I ride him sometimes on Sunday for like 1 or 2 hours, but he needs someone to ride him more often. He needs a little more work. If you want to come and ride him to see a piece for you, call Mom. My name is Ricky, or trade for LED HDTV riding lawnmower, or a cow, or a calf. The crosses being a limo, Charlet, bra, Angus, or goats, maybe sheep. So basically, get this dang horse off my property and give me anything for it.
I'll take anything. Please. I'll take a turtle. Maybe some fish. You have some goldfish. I'll take that. All right, let me try mine from Gemma Kuntz. Thank you, Gemma, for sending this in. Wanted safe, reliable trail gelding. I am a 14-year-old advanced beginner. Well, is that a new term? Is that actually a thing, an advanced beginner?
I think people are saying that now.
Yeah.
Is that like beginners and intermediate beginner? I don't know. It's getting very confusing. Okay, start over because you got to read the whole thing.
All right. I'm a 14-year-old advanced beginner to intermediate rider looking for a gelding between 6 and 12 years old. I do mainly
can't you
trail
do this
riding.
In a, wait, can't you do this in a 14-year-old girl voice, please? Because you can't say I'm
not
a 14-year-old in your
laughing
voice.
Fit.
Yes, say it. Do it.
I'm a 14-year-old advanced beginner to intermediate rider, and I'm looking for a gelding between 6 and 12 years old. I do mainly trail riding, and I do 1 or 2 small local game shows a year, like Jeopardy. He has to be a traffic safe because on the road we live here a lot of big trucks and motorcycles. No bucking, bolting, kicking, biting, or rearing allowed. Height doesn't matter as long as he's taller than 14.2 hands. I would prefer a quarter horse or appy, but I will look at all, unless it is an Arabian, a saddlebred, a standardbred, or a thoroughbred. I hate them. I will respond to all emails.
We found a new voice. We found a new voice. That was absolutely fantastic. And the ad, she doesn't care how tall it is, as long as it's taller than 14.2, and she doesn't care what breed it is, unless it's one of the 8 most popular breeds in the United States, be the Arabian, Standardbred, Saddlebred, or Thoroughbred. That was a great voice. Well done.
Thank you.
Well
Thank
done.
You. I'll bring that
you
one out again.
Yeah, that was
Did you
good.
Notice how it got more southern as I went? It started out just a little kid voice, and then it got more southern as I went. So I don't know how that works.
You don't have to reveal your secrets, Glenn. You can keep those to yourself.
Oh, wait. My wife just wrote, if Elmer Fudd was a girl, she'd sound just like that.
Oh, you're like Elmer Fudd's girlfriend. That's really cute. All right, do Rachel's.
Oh, is it me again? Yeah. Rachel Rosenthal sent this one in. Oh, geez, my eyes are watering. Horse, $1,200, Bloomingdale, Ohio. Lots of emails, but no takers yet, so I'm trying again. Oh, when you put that in your ad, that just tells everybody that you have the worst horse in the world, and you haven't been able to sell it in 10 years. Don't put
you
that in.
You scare everybody.
I've had a lot of questions about his personality, what kind of rider, disposition, etc. He's in with a pony and gets along with him. I'm totally inexperienced, and I've ridden him. Of course, like any other animal, I suppose he'd do something stupid once in a while, but I haven't seen anything. I don't ride like I thought I would, and the wife is complaining about all my pets. Isn't that usually the other way around? Since I can't part with her, I guess he needs to go. I'll include all the stuff that's his, in parentheses. If you make a good enough offer on the wife, I'll throw her in for nothing.
I'll throw in the horse for nothing. So basically, take my wife, please. Oh, awesome.
That's a good
awesome,
ad.
Rachel. That is a good ad. That is a good ad. All right. April Whitford sent this one in. And she says that this is an ad from their local trading post. And what really scares me is that when you place an ad in your local trading post, you have to actually pay for it. And so somebody actually wrote this out on a piece of paper and submitted this to the trading post, where the trading post said, yeah, that's good enough to print. Why not? So here is the ad. Hello to all, in parentheses. I have only one horse for sale, the Appy. I have an outstanding two-year-old girl for sale. She is halter broke. She is the first to picture. I am just taking, asking 600 OBO, must go sold, sold. Next line. I have two stud that can be gelded for you. The black is no broke, but very nice boy. Ask him 600 sold, sold, smiley face. The appy is my only boy left asking 800 is very good boy. He is broke to ride. He is a stud. Must have a good rider on him. He has about 40 hours on him. I am open to all. That's the worst ad, and you wrote that down and then paid for it? Ridiculous. When I say the last line of every show, it goes directly to these people. Please, spay, neuter, and geld. Geld it. Geld it. Everything. Geld it. You should not have a stallion. Sorry, I get a little carried away.
I know. Judy Shepherd sent in the following, and it's our horse trailer picture of the week. Woohoo! And Jennifer says she has some great ones coming up in the weeks to come. She says she has some horse trailers that are just unbelievable, so we'll have to be showing those. This one looks like that lived at our farm for a while, actually. And it's one of the – we've seen this type of trailer 100 times on this show, and it's the two-horse trailer with the rounded front and with the two – with the dual axle. We've seen this one before, except we haven't seen one that was pink and now has turned into sort of a rusty pink. And I love the ad. Here's what it says.
Pepto-Bismol pink covered in
yeah, that. This is very pink. And we had a border that had a trailer almost just like this, actually. It might have started out red about 40 years ago. I'm not sure. Horse trailer, $400 in Wisconsin, if you're interested. Two stall with storage, needs tires. Yeah, because you notice how they took the picture? The plants are in front of the tires, so you can't see that they're totally flat. Not pretty.
It's like ivy crawling up the tires, actually.
Yeah.
Amazing.
A two-stall with storage needs tires. Not pretty, but solid. It has a tandem axle. If you care about cosmetics, then it will need to be sandblasted, painted, and have some holes in the roof fixed. And might I add, it will need new windows, probably new new joints, the whole thing. He does say the floor, walls, and doors are solid. So the inside apparently looks better than the outside, but there's no pictures of that. I've hauled a standard bred and a quarter horse in it at the same time.
Do that? You don't care about your horses. Good Lord.
I mean, I guess he was so excited it didn't fall apart in a way he had to put it in there. Can fit a bale of hay, feed, and tack in the storage area. If you're looking for something to haul your dressage horse to high-dollar events, this is not the trailer for you. Well, at least he's honest. I mean,
do you really have to tell a dressage rider that this is not the horse trailer for you? Really, it's probably assumed.
Ann Romney saw this ad, and she was flying to Wisconsin. She wanted this trailer.
Up until the guy said it. Dang it. Oh, well. Robin Donahue sent this one in. Horse child safe. $1,800. TWH, this girl is as child safe as they come. Everyone keeps telling, don't sail, but I need these for money to haul many horses. 1800 firm, I will not come down. I have had four kids on her at one time. She will do whatever you ask. Great home is a must. You won't find a better horse for beginner or kids.
Four kids on at a time? It's a family horse. Woohoo!
It's right a horse up. Child safe. Tennessee walking horse. What people say, and don't sail.
It starts with TWH. Is that code for something? Did I miss something?
I think it's a Tennessee walking horse.
Ah, oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, don't say how old she is, but by God, we've had four kids on her at the same time. You're just lucky they didn't get in trouble. Yeah. I found this one, and this is Phoenix for you. This is one of those ones I want to call and find out if anybody actually called. Hold on. I got to put my dogs outside. They're driving me crazy trying to get under the desk. Hold on. Yeah.
All right. While Jamie's putting her dogs outside.
I'm back. My door's right
now. Oh, look at that. That was quick.
Okay. Need a place to park your horse trailer and wouldn't mind sharing it? Northwest Phoenix. If you see the ad, I'm still interested in the deal. I will delete the ad the moment I am not looking. I wasn't sure if I would get any takers on this offer, but I thought I would give it a chance. I have an Arab horse and recently went horse camping up at Groom Creek in Prescott and would like to go again. My problem is I don't have a horse trailer. I used to have one a while ago, but sold it. And now I would like to have one that I could use now and then. Well, all horse trailers are used now and then. Nobody drives it around every day. I know that there are a lot of homeowners associations that won't let you park or store your horse trailer at home. So I am offering a place for you to park your horse trailer in exchange for letting me use it when you aren't using it. I would prefer a two-horse trailer. Bigger trailers wouldn't work for me. I have a two-acre property completely fenced and safe in Sunburst Farms area, blah, 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 which is right on the border of Glendale. My name is Dawn, and I can be reached by call or by this email list, link on Craigslist. I'm very flexible, and I'm home all the time. Thanks for reading my ad. So basically, she just wants to be a user. Good luck.
No, you know what, though?
I can't imagine.
This is marketing to its I love this, Dawn. We're going to call her up and hire her. She is an excellent marketer. She is thinking outside the box.
Wow. I think the last place I would leave my trailer is, hey, you know what? You go ahead and use it all the time, baby. No problem. I'll just leave it at your house for you.
It's creative. It's very creative on her part. I wonder if the ad's still up. It probably is, I'm sure. Mel Donald sent this one in from Australia, actually. Mel's from Australia, so thank you for sending this one in. This one, the picture says it all and kind of scary in a way. Have you ever seen the movie Chucky? About the doll.
The scary doll?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Just imagine a pink Chucky. And that's what they have hanging around this horse's neck in the picture. The picture, I've got to describe the picture. They have this pony. It's a Welsh pony. They have this pony, and it's tied to what looks like a bush. Looks like the pony is tied to a bush, and pony does not – does he have a halter on, or is he just tied around his neck to the bush?
It's one of those rope halters that's really, really way too big, like hanging almost down by his nostrils.
Okay, I couldn't figure that out. And then there's another rope, for some reason, around his neck, and hanging from it is this little child's doll. And in front of the little child's doll and the horse is a little child who does not look happy to be in the picture. Not happy.
No, and is barefoot, which is great around horses.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that before. But I'm not sure why the doll is hanging around the horse's neck, but it's probably a very tolerant horse. And the ad reads, 15-year-old Welsh Mountain Pony for sale, 12.2 hands, confident rider, child rider has moved on to next level. It looks like she's just moved on. She doesn't look like she's happy with the pony at all. Student trail riding or mustering only as he loves to be with his mates. So you take this pony away, he is going to be so sour. Sweet-natured Oakley will only go to an approved home. So let me see. He screams and screams and screams when his friends go away. He does not like children, thanks to this little bugger that keeps hanging Chucky around his neck and needs a confident rider. There's a happy little 12.2 hand pony for $1,500. Just line up for that one.
And I love the fact that Mel Donald sent this in because she's Australian, and it's like he's suitable to go on a muster, and he loves to be with his mates. I love that. Awesome. That's cool.
What's a muster?
Muster would be like, you know, in The Man from Snowy River, they went on the muster to go get the horses that had run away because the 1,000-pound colt had been let go by Curly, but they blamed it on Jim, and so he joined the Brumbies, and so they went on the muster to go get them back. Don't you remember that, Glenn? God.
Got it. I'm sorry I asked. Cat said in the next one.
Yes. Let's hold on. My computer's refreshing here. Let's get down to Cat. All right. Cat, thanks for sending this in. Wanted off-farm lease. Looking for an off-farm lease. I can pay board, hay, and feed, but we'll need help with other financial responsibilities. I don't even know what that word is. That's really, really misspelled. I want to ease into horse ownership and make sure I'm making the right decision as far as which horse I am choosing goes. If the horse is the right match, I am wanting to buy in future. What I'm looking for, preferably a gelding, 15.3 to 16 plus in height. Sweet, gentle, no vices, not hot. Not spooky, no rear. It's okay if horse gets a little spookin' and does a little flinch or sidestepping, but I really want a safe guy. Walk, trot, canter, good transitions, jumping good, dressage good. I'd rather dressage over jumping, though, but sound. Able to go on trails. I have a nice boarding barn with indoor, tons of trails, great horsey friends turn out at will. It's not mine. A good friend of mine owns it. I want to give a great horse tons of love and time. I have 16 years experience. I'm also an equine professional. So if you have a horse who's sitting around with no job, please consider me. Thank you. I guess an off-farm lease is when you lease a horse, but you take it somewhere else. It took me a minute to figure out what that was. So just some really bad spelling in here as well. But, you know, you've got to give the person credit for wanting to try to find the right horse. Good luck with somebody letting you lease to buy. That just never happens.
Yeah, yeah. And not just the right horse, Jamie. If you read, not hot, sweet, gentle, no vices, no rear, no spook, it has to be completely sound, it has to jump, it has to do dressage, it has to do all of those things. This is not the right horse. She wants the perfect horse.
You're right. Yeah. You are exactly right. You know, that's why people have trainers and they take lessons. Because you can't always just find the perfect horse, but you can make them. Oh, God. All right, read the next one.
Glenn Forster sent this one in. Horse Thoroughbred, $2,800. Big horse, 16.3 hands, and here's the story. We have had two people that say they want to buy him and never show up to see him. He's an off-the-track horse. Last race in July 2011, we have fed him really well, and he's put on a lot of weight ever since we get him. The person we bought him from was traying him on jumper horse, good loving horse. No punctuation, no capitalization, no anything. And I have no idea. It's some kind of thoroughbred, probably never been trained. And this guy has made him fat. So there you go.
At least, you know, they have a period. Like the only period in the entire ad is at the 16.3 hands. So they know they have one. You're free to use it. It doesn't cost extra to use that little dot button. And our winner.
Can you imagine what ads would look like if Craigslist charged by the word?
Oh, my God. Everything would be one word, and we couldn't read them. All right. The winner, Beth Aswegen.
Hey, congratulations, Beth. You're the winner of the Illuminated Hoof Picks.
Woo! I'm going to say the prize because it's an Illuminated Hoof Pick because you're not British. So the Illuminated Hoof Pick, by the way, my husband, when he tries to make me mad, calls it a hoof. He's like, oh, you want me to pick his hoofs? I'm like, oh, my God, stop. And he laughs. He thinks it's so funny.
We had that discussion at Rolex. I said, you really want to get at Jamie sometimes when you're having a fight? Just try this. So he's using it.
Did you really? Well, he's doing it, and thank you very much. It just makes me mad. I tell him I'm going to go pee in the pool and see what happens then, because you're the pool guy in the house. Okay. All right. Beth is the winner. Congratulations. This is the best, worst, best ad in the entire week. So I'm going to have to read this as a teenager, because it has to be a teenager. There's just no way. Help me, I miss my horse. Click if you can help me, please. Quit blagging me. Can't you see how much I love horses? I recently had to put down my 18-year-old horse. He was my baby angel face. Mom said I could get a new horse as long as we can do payments. If you have a horse, us be willing to do a deal on or just give to me, please let me know. I cry every night because how it hurts inside me so much. Please, if you can help me, please contact me ASAP. I am an expert rider, and I've trained in horses. Please don't flag me, please. God.
Poor girl, I almost feel bad for her. She's like, her horse died.
listen, go to school. Learn how to spell. Learn how to write. Stop using the capital letter button all the time, and maybe nobody would flag. And you're probably not an expert rider, and your horse was 18 years old. Really? All right. I don't feel sorry for her. I don't. Maybe I do. Kind of a little. I don't know. Anyway, Beth, you win the hoof fix.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Wrong one. I didn't mean to do that. That was the closing music. I meant to do this. That was for Beth. Thank you, Beth. You'll need to send your address to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com so she can get it over to the Illuminated Hoofpick people. And you can find them at mjequinetoolsinc.com, which is a long address. Just look up Illuminated Hoofpick, and they'll be the first thing to pop up on Google. And Jennifer will post a link in our show notes as well. I have a couple things, which is one thing here before we get out of here for the weekend, is Jennifer posted the question of the day, what's the worst job you've ever had? And we got a couple answers on Facebook, and I'm trying to find them. So, Jamie, I love this first one, coffee shop. Nothing quite like working for jittery, over-caffeinated customers.
Okay, Megan wrote that she was a she wrote, working as a cashier at Target. It was horrible.
I think Jamie has them all beat, though.
Yeah, selling vacuum cleaners, that's really got to suck. That's a really bad job. But I must say that I worked as a cashier when I was 15 years old at Super Value, which was like the really nasty grocery store up the street, but all my friends worked there, and it was way fun. Everybody was like 15 that worked there. It just ran like, you know, a well-oiled machine. 15-year-old cashiers, 16-year-old stock boys. It was like child labor. I think I made 50 cents an hour. It was great.
I left the restaurant after 4 years of working there in high school and stuff to go to what I thought was going to be a much better job. And this was as a night clerk at a little hotel. And the problem was you had to stay awake. I worked from 11 to 7, 11 at night, 7 in the morning. And there was nothing. There was nobody came in. You had to stay awake. Well, one Christmas Eve, I was awake because we kept the doors locked at that hour, and people would have to come up the door and I had to let them in. And there was a back door that I could hear, but I couldn't see. Well, what most people don't know is that Christmas Eve is the biggest night for robberies. And people were breaking into the back door of the hotel and were coming in to rob me on Christmas Eve. So I managed to go. I actually got brave. I think I grabbed a big stick or something I found in the one room, and I went into the back, and they saw me, and they took off. But I could have been killed on Christmas Eve there at the hotel. That's a pretty bad job when you can be killed. They ended up robbing four more places that night. I called the police. Well, it was Christmas Eve, and we were state police territory in the county, and the dispatcher says, I said, there's somebody breaking in our back door. I'm going to get robbed. And she said, our nearest policeman is an hour and a half away. And it took an hour and a half to get there. I had been dead, bleeding on the floor on Christmas Eve right there in the hotel. I was never the same after that. I was wide awake every night after. No sweat napping on the job then.
Wow, you're lucky to be alive.
I am. They broke into four other places that night. Police came back in the morning and asked me what I saw and all that stuff because they had broken into other closed restaurants and stuff like that. I could have been dead. And I was really stupid to go walking into the room they were breaking into. That was probably really stupid, too.
See, it's like those movies where Freddy Krueger is in the other room and they're like, hey, let's go walk in the woods and see if we can find something. Bad idea!
Yeah.
Okay? The scary people are always waiting for you in the woods. Or like, you know, the call. It's coming from inside the house. Don't go anywhere. Put your head under the covers and close your eyes, and it's not happening.
You faded out a little bit here. Let's just call it a day before the sound gives out altogether.
Oh, boy. Okay, sounds good. Well, everybody have a great weekend, and spay, neuter, and geld, people. Let's do it.
Enjoy this pseudo-holiday weekend. And I'll play the closing music once I can find the closing music. Can you find the closing music?
Happy Canada Day, everybody, if I may say. I can't find. Oh, here it is. I got it.
Okay.
There you go.
Fader during gals.
I said that already. You weren't paying attention.
Oh.
Good luck to everybody at Barbary. Go ride your horse. Stay cool.